Is this working okay? Yeah, we're on. Wonderful. It's so good to be here. This has been our home church. I married Rian 28 years ago, 29 years this year. It was Bridgend that we lived. We've had our children here. We love Bridgend. We love coming to this church. And it's such a privilege for me to be here today. There's one thing that I want to say as well to you while I have the opportunity. And that is that I have asked Craig to join the national leadership team. And I believe that Craig is carrying something for our nation. And he's your pastor, I know. And I want to thank you in anticipation of releasing Craig from time to time, because God's got something amazing that he wants to do in and through his life. And I know that that means a cost here. Not all the time, not very often, but sometimes. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart that I want to thank you on behalf of the Apostolic Church for bringing us, or giving us, that release.
Let me serve you.
Yeah.
Let me serve you right at the beginning. I won't do this everywhere we go, but I believe.
That's it. That's the job, isn't it? So I haven't got big enough ears, obviously. So have we got a photograph? I think we have. I saw it earlier on. I want to just tell you a little story about this little man who's in my life, and his name is Brody. And Brody came to live with us 10 years ago, and through really difficult circumstances and terrible things that happened all around that, and he became part of our family. I see him as a son. He sees me as a granddad. But we have wonderful times together. We've grown to have a deep appreciation of Brody and his idiosyncrasies, and he's got many, and he's full of life and vitality. And what he does, or anything he does, he throws his heart and soul into. So I'll tell you this story. We went to Aberavon, is that right? By the beach, yes, to play crazy golf. And so there was myself, there was Rian, Liberty, and Brody, and we paid a couple of pounds, and we got our putter and our golf ball, and we got ready, and he has to be first. So there's no question about that. I want to be first in the queue. Doesn't matter if anybody else, ladies first, none of that. No, it's got to be Brody. So we say, oh, that's okay then, Brody. So he puts the ball down on the spot, so he knows where that goes, and he gets the putter in his hand like this, and he gives it, you know, his best shot, which is to absolutely whack the ball, right? Honestly, it was ricocheting, right? We all had to duck. It was mayhem. So I said to Brody, I said, Brody, no, you don't play like that. Let's get your ball again. So when I got the ball, and I put it back on the spot, and I stood over him, and I said, right, now you've got to put your legs such, and you've got to hold the putter, and you've got to have one hand over this, and you know, stuff. I don't know where I learned all this, but anyway, we're doing all this kind of stuff, and I've literally got my arms around him, and I'm holding him like this, and we hit the ball, and it goes about this far. And Brody looks at me, you know, and he I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, that's rubbish. That whole business is rubbish. So I step back, waiting for him to do everything he's been taught. Whack! Off it goes again. And he swings at the ball, and he's having the time of his life. And I was getting more and more frustrated with him. And it just seemed like, so I said to the girls, I said, you go on, you play, I'll play with Brody, because it was mayhem. And I tried to teach him, and I tried to impose on him what it is to play crazy golf. You would swear we were playing in the Belfry. It's crazy golf. And it only occurred to me, as we got almost sort of halfway through, maybe three quarters of the way through, that I was sucking the joy out of his game. He was not enjoying it. I was not enjoying it. We were trying to do life in a way that was totally disproportional to what we were playing. It was, you know, none of the balls were going in five putts. They were going in 35 putts. But we were going round the course. We were doing life. And I said to Brody, I said, should we do it again? Yes, let's do it again. So we both played like that. And we had a far better time. It was way better. We just had a good time. We just didn't think about anybody who was in front of us, and we didn't think about anyone who was behind us. We just got on with the crazy golf, and it was a good experience. But I learned a big lesson that day, that I was often doing what I was doing that day for Brody, which was trying to teach him something. This is the way you do it. That was maybe not appropriate or disproportional, or something that maybe he needed to learn as he began to really enjoy the game. So as you begin to, you know, like he has a real passion for crazy golf, I'm sure he'll think, I want to bring down the number of shots. I want to get it right. It needs to come from his heart. I can't impose that. And I think, do I do that in my life? Do I do that with my family? Do I do that with my friends? Do I do that with the church I lead? Do I do that in other spheres? Am I imposing something of what it looks like? This is the way you do it. This is the way you should do life. This is the way you should do marriage. This is the way you should bring up your kids. And what we need is we need to know something of the passion of doing life and walking through life from the master himself. And we grow in expertise. We become masters because we do it with Christ, not because someone else tells us how to do it. Let's read Psalm 100. I'm reading from the NLT version this morning. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. Sorry, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Amen? Amen? Reading this psalm together, we understand that the psalmist is encouraging us all to live out our life in God and for God with gladness, and do so with joy. Yes. Do it with joy. And this is the dilemma. This is the dilemma. Because I want to be honest this morning. There are times where my joy tank, which should be full. I'm literally running on fumes. Literally running on fumes. That has been my experience from time to time as I've walked this walk with Jesus. I found it difficult to function. There are times where I've even felt burnt out. Times when I've lost my appetite for God's word. Times where I found it difficult to pray. Times where I found gathered church unsatisfying. And then I reflect on God's word. I reflect on what I know the scripture says. And the scripture says in 1 Peter 1, you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. I know that's what God's word says, but my reality is that my trust is waning. My joy is low. I'm running on joy fumes. And I certainly don't feel like rejoicing. And that's a huge problem. In fact, there have been times in my Christian experience, and I'm not talking years ago. I'm not talking years ago, where I'm literally just going through the motions. And that's not a bad thing to some extent, because we must live by faith and we live not by feelings in that sense. But something is wrong and I need to determine in my heart and in my spirit, what is at the bottom of this? Why do I feel this way? So when reflecting on these experiences, it's taught me that when there is no joy, when I felt burnt out, where I've not known which way to turn, that the problem hasn't been my circumstances. The problem hasn't been my family. The problem hasn't been my workload. It hasn't been any of the other relationships around me. The problem has been my personal discipleship. how deep I am, how close I am, how intimate I am with Jesus. Somehow I have lost the connection. See, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when I can't, when I don't feel I can do that, I haven't got the strength, the energy, the joy in doing it, there's something wrong. I'm out of sync with Christ. And I have to own it. See, Christ hadn't changed when I felt like that. He hadn't failed me. He hadn't abandoned me. But I had been out of step with Jesus. I had been out of step with my personal relationship with him. My intimacy with him was not the same. 6 months ago, I had a strange, terrible, awful experience. Just personally, no one would have known about it. The family would have known it. We would have walked through that experience together. I found it incredibly difficult to function. Incredibly difficult. But I came to that place because you kind of go through things and you carry on and you do work and you keep doing the things you're doing. But I came to that place, the realization that there was no joy. There was no joy. I'd lost my joy. If I've lost my joy, I need to get back to Jesus. I need to get back to Jesus. I'd been doing life out of sync with the rhythm of grace that God has for me. You know, when I came to that realization, and it lasted about 2 months, when I came to that realization, I realized there was nothing I could rely on. Nothing that would satisfy me, nothing that would help me, nothing that would pull me from this space into the one where I should be, other than Jesus. I realized that Christ is enough. I've known it all my life. That's what I was taught as a child. That's what I was, what I went through when I became a Christian. I believed that Christ is enough. And yet here I am only 6 months ago, and I find myself where I've got things around me, people around me, structure around me that is trying to say, this is you, Hive. And it didn't matter a jot unless I realized that Christ is enough. Yes. Christ is enough. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." You know, God is constantly singing over our lives. Constantly singing over our lives. It's a personal song for me, and it's a personal song for you. There isn't just one tune. He sings over your life personally. And that's an amazing thing. Songs that sing over us that tell us that we are saved. We are loved. We are valued. We are blessed. And we're pleasing to God. We are pleasing to God. A song that sings over my insecurities, my anxiety, my personal pain, my disappointments, my guilt, my grief, and my shame. It sings way louder over those things and tells me I am who I am by the grace of God. And when I live confidently and faithfully under the sound of God's song, I have security, significance, self-worth, and a deep sense of satisfaction. But if I'm not, has God changed? Has God stopped singing? I need to realign. I need to position myself where I can hear that song over my life again. See, if I'm listening to the sound of my own song, and believe me, I have a lot, right? My own song doesn't work well in my experience. It leads me in the wrong direction. It takes me up the garden path. Where I listen to the song of others, it does exactly the same. But when I listen to the song that the Lord God Almighty sings over my life, I find joy, peace, satisfaction. All those things are there if I'm in that place where I can hear it. See, I've got to cut out the white noise. You all know what white noise is? Yeah. White noise is something that we have to really understand is getting louder and louder in our lives. We have a really dodgy conservatory at the back of our house, and it's not the best conservatory. It's got this sort of plastic roof, and so if it's drizzling outside, and I mean drizzling outside, it's deafening inside the inside the conservatory. So, like, we don't use it very often, you know, if it's, because in the summer it's like a furnace, and in the winter it's like a freezer, and it's like, but it's there, and it's just a pain. But I thought about this whole point about white noise, and there's so much white noise in that conservatory. And sometimes, do you know when it's really heavily raining, you cannot hear yourself speaking to someone else. It is so loud. But do you know what I really need to do? Is I need to open the door of the conservatory, step out of the conservatory, stand in the rain a bit. I'm only going to get wet, for goodness sakes, but at least I could hear myself. And I think sometimes we need to do that in God. See, in the noise and in the racket of the conservatory that we live in, to be honest, there are times where we think, God, stop speaking. The heavens are as brass. God's abandoned me. He's forgotten me. The noise has become a greater thing in our lives than the one who cares for us so much that he gave his only son for us. Nothing could be further from the truth. And yet we can be in that space and believe it. And we need to open the door and step away from the white noise. Step into that place where we can hear. Where we can hear what God says over our lives again. I don't know about you, but I have an awareness of stuff like social media and things that are said in the workplace, or things that we hear on television that are trying to shape me. Tell me who I am. White noise. If I listen to that stuff and start to believe that stuff, I will be depressed, I'll have anxiety, I'll have worries, I won't be able to reach any kind of standard. I might as well pull the blanket over my head every morning and just stay in bed. But God says to me, his song sings over me, you're a child, you're my child, you're my son, I have a plan for your life. And everything I need, every spiritual blessing I need is coming from God. Everything. Christ is enough. But we've got to cut out the white noise. We can blame everything else for when we feel this way, but the bottom line is that we've probably not concentrated our efforts on tuning in and listening to the heartbeat of the Father. Sometimes we make more of an effort of being a better partner or being a better father or a better worker, sometimes even a better leader, than on concentrating on being a better disciple. It's the wrong way around. You want to be a better father? You want to be a better husband or a better wife? You want to be a better in the workplace? You want to be more confident in your evangelism? You want to do things? It's not a question of listening in to everybody else. Become a better disciple. Get closer to Christ. Get closer to the Father's heart. Listen to the song that he sings over your life. Because despite all of life's trials, and they will still exist, when we're in sync with God, when we're in sync with the song, when we dance to the rhythm of the song that he's singing over our life, there is joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. I love that Paul writes to the church in Philippi in his letter that we call Philippians, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul is in prison. Paul is in chains. Paul can't move. He can't breathe without being watched. And almost, it's almost like torture or persecution. And yet he said, rejoice. Because there were people even there in prison that were being touched by his life. Not because of what he could share, but just the way he was living it. His confidence. Not his circumstances. His confidence in God. Meant that he could say. And not just give information, but give revelation from his own experience in his own heart to the church. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And these things happen in our life. They happen in my life. I'm pretty certain they must happen in yours too. We have to have that understanding to prioritize the rhythm of our lives to the melody of God's song over us. A disciple, first and last. A disciple foremost. Turn with me to Matthew 11. Jesus says this right at the end of the chapter. It's an interesting chapter. There's some great verses before this where he's talking literally, he's praying actually. And he, in his prayer, you detect joy in Jesus. There's a thanksgiving in his heart that, Lord, you've revealed to children or to the childlike. And there's something about that whole thing of just the trusting nature of children. I'm glad that Brody rejected my imposition and that he had the best game of crazy golf ever because we did it the way he felt was right. These verses, let's read them together. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus is giving a personal invitation to each one of us to enable us to stay in step with the song God is personally singing over our lives. He's the one who is able to help us in that. Come to me. Come to me. Only I know when our rhythm is not right. And yet Jesus says, come. Do you feel secure today? We live in a society where there is so much insecurity, so much fear. It's driving people to the extremes. And there's no joy in that. There's no joy in it. Are you secure? If not, Jesus says, come. Come. Do you have self-worth? Do you know who you are and how valuable you are? Or do you feel insignificant? Do you feel unloved? Do you feel ashamed? Do you feel? I don't know. There's a myriad of things that we carry over our lives because of something somebody said or something somebody did or something we've read or something we've heard and we've believed it and it's become stronger than what should be there and it's become the thing for us and it's the white noise. We're living in the conservatory and it's a racket and you can't stand it anymore. And Jesus says, come. Come. I don't know how many people that I meet and they have this massive sense of insignificance. Huge. We have better education. We think we've got better things going on in our life. So much, everything's so much better. And yet, in a world where we're more connected, we have never felt more alone. And Jesus says, come. Come. Come no matter what. That's what Jesus is saying. Come to me, and I will fully align you with the Father. To know grace, to know that rhythm in our lives. See, Jesus saved me. I remember the day I gave my life to Jesus, and he saved me. Thank God he keeps saving me. Every day, I have to get real with God and say, God, and he saves me. And you know, tomorrow, I can come because Jesus says, come, and he'll save me. It's the nature of God that once we've made that commitment, he will never leave you nor forsake you. God's fully in. He's fully embraced us. You're a child of the living God, and God doesn't abandon his children. We need to keep coming to him, to come, to get closer, to hear his very heartbeat. Jesus says, come all who labor and are heavy laden. Labor implies that whole thing of the stuff that is the white noise around us. It's just, what we're hearing, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to be, when we're not being who we are in Jesus, when we don't just rest in Christ. And that is so, so frustrating for us. Labor, we labor in vain. Lest the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. And it's frustrating. And it's soul destroying. If we want to know joy, come. Come. All who labor are heavy laden. Heavy laden is that stuff that people put on us. The voices that we hear that sound so, you know, they make perfect sense. They sound good. But we need a reality check that the only voice that really matters is his. Is his. And if what we're hearing from people doesn't align with his voice, then we know we need to cut the noise out, this white noise. We need to hear from him. Just let me put in my expectations on Brody. I was teaching him to be Tiger Woods when we were playing crazy golf. Totally disproportional. There's things that people are putting on our lives that are totally unnecessary. They don't belong there. Let's listen to the heartbeat of God. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I love this. I love this. The whole thought, you know, that most people, when we talk about God, they perceive him as a sort of a really old man sitting on a cloud, you know, somewhere else. He's a God who is in heaven. But Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke. In other words, I'll walk through this with you. I'll walk through life. I will put my arm around you. I will go where you go. You will go where I go. In fact, that's what he says. Follow me. But that whole thing of just knowing that Jesus is in it with us again. It's a lie that we've been abandoned. It's a lie that we're on our own. It's a lie. It's a strategy of the enemy. Do you know the devil's only got one strategy? One. We think he's got millions of them. He's got one. Divide and conquer. If he can get between you and God, he's won. Don't let it happen. Come. Come. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. The servant heart of Jesus to come and walk with us, live with us, do life with us, to lead us deeper and deeper into that place where we can be in the worst of circumstances and still feel we have everything. Why? Because we have Jesus. Jesus. He's enough for me. And then Jesus says, and I will give you rest for your soul. I'm going to just wrap up with this, okay? This thought, rest for your soul. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But he wants to bring rest for your soul. I don't know if anything has resonated with you this morning. If there's an alarm bell been ringing that actually that's me, I don't have that kind of joy. I certainly don't have that kind of peace. Jesus' promise, his commitment to you as you come is rest for your soul. There's, I tell you what I've found in my experiences of is that whatever I've tried and everything I do, I am absolutely exhausted. Exhausted by effort. Exhausted by trying hard when all the time my Father loves me. All the time, he's singing over me that I love you. This is my son. I'm well pleased. I didn't have to do anything for God to be pleased in me. Because he loved me enough. And if this stuff is resonating this morning, I would love to just pray with you. When we're going through experiences like this, don't let the white noise drown out the song over your life. Don't let this experience go on and on, but come. Come to Jesus and find rest for your soul. Know that intimacy. Let's go deeper. Discipleship, we talked about discipleship earlier on. You're still a disciple, but when we're out of sync, out of rhythm, we're just not in step with Jesus. And to step in, to come, and to get in step with Jesus, everything changes. The Holy Spirit just comes and refreshes, just comes and brings that settledness in our experience and in our spirit. I'm going to read you those verses again, and I'm going to read you them from the Message version. And then I'm just going to ask Craig and the band if they'll come. But I'll be here. It would be my privilege to pray. If, like me, you have felt your joy dissipate, you're burnt out, it feels like religion, come to Jesus. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. There's joy in serving Jesus. Amen. God bless you.